things which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit, do you hear what that says? It says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you notice what it does not say? It does not say according to your will. And that is a very hard thing to disconnect from, if you understand what I'm saying. Because we have stuff that we want in life. And we have stuff that we want to happen in our lives. And so, and you know, I'm a big believer in sowing and reaping. I'll just give you a for instance, an example. I'm a big believer in sowing and reaping. So I've given away. This one time, there was a missionary couple in our church. This is early on when I first started to understand the principle of sowing and reaping. There was a missionary couple in our church who came back from the mission field, and they did not have a car. So I went out, and I had a pretty good job. And so I went out, and I bought a car for them. I bought this car, and the Bible says, he who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply the seed you have sown. So I went to buy, I think it was a Dodge Omni. You know, it wasn't a real fancy car, but they didn't have a car. And I was an aircraft mechanic. I'm a mechanic. I can fix cars. So I thought, I'll just buy this car from this person. They had it advertised at work. I'll buy this car from them. And then when I buy it, I'll take it back to my garage, and I'll overhaul. I'll just fix the thing. I'll detail the inside. I'll wash and wax the outside. I'll give them basically a brand new used car, right? So that was my intention. So I went to go buy this car from this lady from work. I drove out there and looked at the car and said, yeah, I want it. She says, well, why are you're driving a nice car. Why do you want this car? I said, well, I'm actually buying it from people from church. They just got back off the mission field. They don't have a car, so I was going to buy it and fix it up and then just give it to them. And she said, really? I said, yeah. She said, you can just have the car. I'll sign the title over to you. So she signed the title over to me, right? And so I took that thing to my garage. I fixed it all up, detailed it, gave it to the missionaries. Oh, they were just jumping up and down happy about it, because they're a young couple, just got off the mission field in Mexico. They got a car. They were excited. So, but I thought my will was, man, next week, debt-free car showing up in my driveway. Right? He supplies seed for the sower, bread for food. He's going to multiply and supply and multiply. Well, my will was, I need a car. I didn't really need a debt-free car because I was making the payment on my cars right fine. I didn't have a problem with it. But, I want a debt-free car. Well, it wasn't until probably 20 years later that I finally got my debt-free car, if you know what I'm talking about. Right? So the Holy Spirit is going to pray through you the perfect will of God, not your perfect will. And I told you before, sometimes the way to your destination in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the Holy Ghost is not a straight line. The way to your destination, most of the times I have found in life, the way to the destination or to the fulfilling of the call that God has on my life it seems like it's never been a straight line. It's all these twists, and you may say, well, that's supposed, Uncle John, you can't hear the voice of the Lord, and you wouldn't have had all those detours if you'd have been listening to him. Maybe you're right. But the simple fact of the matter is, most of the time, it's not a straight line. And he'll take you over here and teach you a little something you need for that and over here. So when we pray, we need to, as best as we can, disconnect our will as far as how that prayer will be answered from the prayer itself. If that makes sense to you. Okay. Praying in tongues, number two there. Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, prays the perfect will of God. It bypasses the fleshly desires of the natural man and reflects the very heart and will of God in a situation. And this for you is going to take trust and faith. That's the whole, really, that's the key to pray. You know, I've prayed for people over the years to receive the Holy Ghost, and they receive the Holy Ghost, but they think that the Holy Ghost is going to come over you, you know, and there's going to be nothing on your part. It doesn't work that way. You got to trust and believe that what you're praying is the perfect will of God over the situation. And I know this is hard for a lot of people, and I think we go through various parts of this in our life. It's not all about you, by the way. I know, you're right. What? It isn't? I thought it was. No, it's not all about you. So, you know, the Lord will use you as a vessel to pray for other people's needs in the Holy Ghost. You know, I can remember there was a season, this was probably 10 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, 15 years ago. There was a season for probably a month or two where I would pray and the same Asian man's face would come to my mind. Every time I pray, not every time, but a good majority of the times that I prayed in the Holy Ghost, this man's face would come into my heart, and it happened for about a month. I've never met the man. I've never seen him. I don't know where he's from. I don't know what country he's from. I figure he's from an Asian country, but that's about all I knew. I don't know if I'll ever meet him. I may meet him one day and say, dude, I remember your face. I prayed for you 15 years ago. I don't know. I may not know until I get to heaven and I'm in heaven and he meets me in heaven and saying, you know what? The Lord told me that you have prayed for me. Thank you. I you know, my life, I was going through a hard time back then, but Jesus strengthened me because of you. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. See, so you have to be able to disconnect your own understanding and you got to trust that God is moving through you to pray the perfect will in the situation. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me read 4 and then I'll just talk about that a little bit. Obviously, there are many advantages to praying in tongues, but one that is very important to call attention to is praying in tongues to build up your faith. You want to walk in a greater level of faith? Pray in tongues. It's just that simple. And I can say, I told you about this, I think the last session, about praying in tongues to strengthen your mortal body. It strengthens. If you're dealing with symptoms, issues in your body, it'll build faith in your body by praying in tongues. It'll build faith in your heart, in your mind, but it'll also strengthen your mortal body. I know that personally. When I have been tired, maybe I don't get a whole lot of sleep. Maybe I have a restless night's sleep. You know, and maybe only had 3 or 4 hours of sleep, but I get up and I got a full day's worth of work. I'm gonna take that time. I'd rather miss a little sleep and spend some time in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost to strengthen my mortal body, than I would get that extra 10 or 15 minutes of sleep. Because he will quicken, he will strengthen your mortal body. Let's keep going there. He teaches you. John chapter 14, verse 25 and 27. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this is one area that I don't think Christians access enough, is the Holy Spirit as your teacher. I can't tell you how many times, this is when I was using a paper Bible, how many times I've laid my hands on my Bible and I said, Holy Spirit, I welcome you right, I mean nearly every morning for years and years and years. Holy Spirit, I welcome you this morning to teach me. And Holy Spirit, I believe God takes great joy when we bring to remembrance His word. For instance, Holy Spirit, I thank you that in your word, you are considered my teacher, and you are going to teach me this morning. And everything that you teach me, because you said that you would bring to remembrance everything that Jesus said to me, and you and Jesus are the same, and Jesus is talking to me during this teaching session, that when I need it, you will bring it to my remembrance. You want a supernatural memory?
Yeah!
Amen. That's what I'm talking about right there. Now, that's enthusiasm. You can win games like that. No, you want a supernatural memory? Yes. You pray in the Holy Ghost and you call God out on His word. You're not going to offend Him by calling God out on His word. He appreciates you calling Him out on His word. And I don't believe that we access the Holy Spirit as our teacher enough. And here's what I'll say. When a teacher is teaching you, you're quiet. Like right now, I'm acting as a teacher to you, and you guys are intently listening. You're not talking. You're listening to what I say. You're getting revelation. It's the same thing when the Holy Spirit is your teacher. That means you don't pray in tongues when He's teaching you. That also means that, which is a difficult discipline for a lot of people, me being one of them. You need to be able to sit quietly and listen. You need to be able to, not just laying in bed when you can't sleep, meditate in the Word. That's excellent. That's great to do. But, there, you know, in the morning, you spend some time praying. You spend some time praying in English. Spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. Sit quiet. Put your Bible on your lap. Read a few verses. Sit quiet. Let the teacher teach you. Let him teach you. You don't try to teach him. Right? Let him teach you. He wants to teach you. And the primary way, bottom of the page here, 16, the primary way the Holy Spirit will teach you is by the Word of God. Anything. This is, so remember that. You're going to see that again. The primary way. Primary way the Holy Spirit is going to teach you is by the Word of God. That's the primary way, the Word of God. Anything you may feel you are hearing in your heart, if it does not agree with Scripture, is not the Holy Spirit. I don't care how strong emotionally you feel about it. If it does not line up with the Word of God, it is not the Holy Ghost. Enough said. The Word of God is our safety net when receiving instruction or direction from the Holy Ghost. He will not contradict Himself. He's not going to tell you one thing in the Word and tell you something else to do outside of the Word. That's contrary to what the Word is saying. He just doesn't do that. Okay, another way, this is on page 17, top of the page here. Another way the Holy Spirit will teach you is through life circumstances. He will not bring, this is important, not a test question, but you need to remember it anyway. He will not bring tragedy or sickness or bad things to you to teach you. But if those things happen to you, He will use every opportunity to help you grow in faith and grace. Remember, He is always with you and you can draw upon Him anytime, day or night. You know what? The Holy Spirit does not bring adverse circumstances to you. He just doesn't do that. God doesn't teach you by burning your barley fields, the Old Testament example. God doesn't teach you by bringing sickness to you. God doesn't teach you by making you poor. God doesn't teach you by giving you a flat tire on your car. God doesn't give those things. I'm sorry, I was saying that wrong. God doesn't give those things to you. But He, because He is your teacher who is always with you, He will use every opportunity to teach you through those circumstances. He won't bring them. It's not God's judgment. We just, you know, sometimes really the fact of the matter is we just make some stupid decisions. And those stupid decisions have consequences with them. Some consequences that you don't see until the fruition of your decision. Until your decision fully matures, the decision that you made here 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that doesn't manifest itself until 3 or 4 weeks later. And then you go, why am I short for my, how could I possibly be short on my rent this month? I mean, I've been so good with my finances. And the Holy Ghost will say, well, son, remember when I told you not to go up skiing and spend $125 on a lift ticket to go skiing, but then you just disregarded me and you didn't pay attention and you did it anyway, and now you're short on your rent. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. You understand what I'm saying? See, the decision, he's trying to tell you something way back here that's going to have consequences in the future. And you may not listen, but when the consequences come, God didn't bring you being short on your rent. In fact, if you'd been paying attention, God would have got you out of the whole jam a long time ago. You know, back, you'd never had the situation. So he's your teacher, and we need to be, really, honestly, we need to be humble enough in our hearts to allow him to teach us. And that can be difficult at times, because the Holy Spirit will use people to teach you and to tell you things. God uses any way he can to mature you. And he may use somebody that you don't even necessarily like. And he's going to speak to them to say something to you. And you got to be willing to be humble enough to receive what that person is saying. So, in order to have the teacher teach you, you need to be humble. You always have unlimited knowledge, the Holy Spirit, residing inside of you. Because of the Holy Spirit being with you, you have the ability to see, learn, and understand things that your natural mind would never understand. And I just want to say, I know this works this way with me for fasting. And I know it works the same way with when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Like, okay, I set my heart on a fast because I need an answer to something. And so I'm like, you know what? I know, I can't, for some reason, my flesh, I'm not able to receive this answer. I'm missing it somewhere. I don't know where it is. So I set my heart to a fast, right? And so, God, I need an answer on this. So I'm gonna miss a couple of meals, or maybe I go a 24-hour period or whatever, a day, 2 days, whatever. I'm going to do this. And so I'll do that fast. And you know what? I may not get that answer in that fast while I'm fasting. Same thing with praying in the Holy Ghost. I'll be praying about something, praying in the Holy Ghost, and I may not get my answer. The teacher may not show me the answer at that very moment. But then, 3 days later, when I'm standing in the shower and I'm rinsing my hair, it's like, oh, yes, that's it. I understand that now. Yes, God, thank you for that. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, so what that is that is the Holy Ghost speaking to you. He just needs you to get to the place where you were able, the teacher needed to get you to the place to where you were able to receive his teaching. Right? So that's what praying in tongues is going to do for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And 1 John 2, 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. See, you have that teacher. You have all of the knowledge of God residing inside of you. You have a powerful anointing inside of you, residing in you at all times. You know the answer to every question there is. You may think to yourself, John, there is no way. I can tell you right now, I don't know. But you do. You just haven't learned how to access it. And I'm going to hit this again. I'm telling you, praying in tongues is the way that you access it. Praying in tongues thins the veil of the flesh, if you understand what I'm saying. It thins the veil. Praying in tongues helps to thin the veil between spirit and God and your flesh. It helps just to thin your flesh so that you are more readily able to hear instruction from the Holy Ghost. You always have in the block there, you always have unlimited knowledge, the Holy Spirit residing inside of you. Because of Holy Spirit being with you, you have the ability to see, learn, and understand things that your natural mind would never understand. And so you, first off, this gives you advantage. This gives you a huge advantage in life that other people don't have. Even Christians who don't believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you have an advantage because you do, because you talk in tongues, because you believe that the Holy Spirit is with you all the time, because you believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because you believe that you can hear His voice. You have an advantage over people who don't believe that stuff. And so we need to, whatever situation we're in our daily lives, when it comes to the Holy Ghost, we need to be listening on the inside. You get into a situation, this was more of a hearing the voice of God. I preached on that last Saturday. I taught on that for the Saturday live hybrid. I taught on hearing the voice of the Lord. And I would be driving home. I remember when I was working for the airlines, I was looking for a second car for my family. And so I was trusting in the Holy Ghost to lead me to the right car. And so I would say, okay, Holy Ghost. I'd be driving down the highway. I'd say, okay, Holy Ghost, tell me where my car is. Where should I look for my car? Should I get off? And I would sense that I'm supposed to get off the highway here at this road. So I'd put the blinker on, get off the highway. Just listening to my heart, right? I'm listening to my heart. And I'd turn right, turn left, turn. And then finally I'd end up out in some backcountry road and I'd realize I missed the Holy Ghost. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was my flesh telling me to go right and left and, you know. But I learned. See, I learned. It's okay, right? It's okay to miss it. Because if you don't miss it, if you're afraid of missing it, you won't follow, you won't allow Him to teach you because you'll be afraid of saying the wrong answer. You know, it's like in school. You don't raise your hand. You may know the answer in your heart, but you don't raise your hand because you're afraid of being wrong. But I'm telling you, you can't play that game when it comes to the Holy Ghost. You've got to learn through trial and experience. You've got to put your ability to hear from Him to the test in the small things. So when you need to hear from Him on the big things, you've trained your heart to hear. And now you have more confidence on the big thing that, yes, this is what the Lord has told me to do. That's the Holy Ghost talking to you. You have Him in you all the time. Okay, let's go to practical applications, which is C there in the middle of page 17. We must all deal with doubt to one degree or another. You can have doubt in your mind, but faith in your heart concerning praying in tongues and flowing where the Holy Ghost is leading. And this is why a lot of people don't live in God's best. This is why a lot of people don't pray in the Holy Spirit as often as they should, is because they get hung up here in their minds. They get overcome with doubt and unbelief. The enemy, when they begin to pray, the enemy just begins to make a few suggestions like, this is stupid. What are you doing? You don't know what you're praying. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, people, you're going to have to fight through those. You are going to have to fight through those. You cannot shut down every time because you get a little bit of unbelief moving around in your head. You can be dealing with stuff up here, but still working out of here. And that comes to that, you know, that goes with everything, whether it's healing, whether it's operating in signs and wonders and miracles. You know, sometimes you got to deal with stuff up in your head right here, but your heart can still be operating in faith. So you can have some unbelief. I'm not saying you need to be, you don't want to get overcome with unbelief, but you can have some thoughts of doubt and unbelief, but you just need to disregard those. No, I cast those down in the name of Jesus. And you just need to operate, you need to just push through this. Let me read 2 Corinthians, because it talks about casting it down in A there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And let me just read B there. Just because you have thoughts contrary to what you know the word says doesn't mean you have stepped out of faith and into unbelief. Don't meditate on or verbalize those thoughts. Cast them down and bring them into the obedience of Christ. Just because you're dealing with thoughts in your head doesn't mean that you're in unbelief. You just need to cast those down. The worst thing that you could do is start verbalizing that garbage that's happening in your head. Okay? Because now you're giving it teeth. You're allowing it to take root. You're confessing that doubt and that unbelief. Don't start praying, God, help me with this doubt and unbelief. Oh, God, all these thoughts. I hate it when I think. Why are you verbalizing that? You control your thought life. You need to cast those. No, you need to find your scripture for whatever thought you're dealing with and cast it down and bring it into the subjection to the obedience of Christ. Because we all have to deal with doubt, y'all. Nobody is, I mean, you can get better. I deal with way less doubt now than I did, 10 years ago. And then I did 5 years ago. We're all in process. We're all heading towards the goal, the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We're all heading in that direction. And so you need to learn how to fight and fight through unbelief and doubt. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians, at the bottom of page 17 there, 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 14. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And this little, that little block right there, you cannot understand with the natural mind praying in tongues or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You must receive understanding of him by faith, and eventually your natural mind will be renewed to the point of clear understanding. The simple fact of the matter is that the natural man is always going to think praying in the Holy Ghost is foolishness. Because it's not naturally discerned. It's spiritually discerned. It's a spiritual exercise. And the natural man wants to be in control. And the natural man wants to understand. But the natural man will never be able to understand. This is why you got to be careful about who you tell that you talk in tongues. And this is why you have to be careful about talking in tongues in front of particularly unbelievers. They're going to think you're mad. They're not going to understand. They're natural men. They won't understand any of it. You could try to explain it to them, but they're just going to think you're nuts. But you're not nuts. Your natural man may fight you, but you just got to learn that I'm not paying attention to my natural man. Eventually, your mind will get renewed to the point where you don't have to. I don't deal with unbelief in the area of praying in tongues anymore. I honestly don't. Now, if I slipped and quit talking in tongues for a month or two or three or four or whatever, then maybe I'd have to deal with doubt again, building myself back up, right, to the place where I was before. I may have to deal with doubt at that point. But right now, in the current place that I'm in right now, I don't deal at all with doubt when I'm praying in tongues. I know I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and I'm praying the perfect will of God. So you can get your mind renewed to the place where it needs to be. All right, let's do our last lesson there, lesson 8. It's all up to you. Top of page 19. The Holy Spirit will not come over you like a seizure and make you pray. He is a perfect gentleman. It is your responsibility to take and make time, make and do the effort to pray in tongues. That is something that has been an obstacle with people that I've prayed with over the years to receive the Holy Ghost. They think that the Holy Ghost is going to come over you like a seizure. You're going to fall on the ground, flop around, and speak in tongues. And they may not think it's going to happen that dramatically, but they think somehow that when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, your lips are just going to start flapping and your tongue's just going to start going and you're just going to be speaking in tongues. And it's just, you don't have to do anything except just sit there like this and the Lord just takes your mouth and jabbers your jaw and you're talking in tongues. That's what, seriously, you laugh, but it's the truth. That's what people think. They get hung up. They don't realize that it's you that makes the effort to talk in tongues. We're going to open that up here just a little bit. And, you know, your flesh may not want to pray in tongues. Just newsflash here. Your flesh may not want to pray in tongues. But you need to make your flesh obey. You make your flesh obey. You know, you know what? I would prefer to eat like a hamburger like nearly every night of the week and no salad and no, you know, and I would rather drink, you know, full strength Cokes, you know, all day long. But what do? I make my flesh obey. And I eat a salad. I make my flesh obey. I eat the things that I may not like as well as others. I mean, I'd rather eat brisket pretty much every night of the week rather than chicken. Right? But I eat chicken too. I mean, we're having salmon tonight for dinner. I'd much rather have pork baby back ribs off the smoker. Right? But I make because I know why. Why do I do that? Because I know it's good for me. And if I want to be healthy in the natural, I need to eat a well-balanced diet. Well, if you want to be healthy in the spiritual, you need to make your flesh obey and pray in tongues. It's not going to overcome you like a seizure. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on my hands. Well, let me see if we've got you. Okay, let me read the next one there. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that he was to stir up the gift of God that was in him. The admonition is still applicable to us today. We must stir up the gift of God in us. And according to Jude 20, we do that by praying in the Spirit. You want to stir up the gift that's in you? Pray in the Spirit. And did you notice, if you're dealing with, how many of y'all believe that God doesn't misplace words in the Bible? Like they are all strategically placed in a certain order. Do you read what that says there in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7? Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then he starts talking about a spirit of fear. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. If you're dealing with a spirit of fear right now, stir up the gift of God that's in you. If you're dealing with the spirit of fear in any situation, if you wake up in the middle of the night, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're dealing with some fear, I got a great story I'd like to tell you, but I do not have time to go down that road right now. But no, I got a really good one. But I just wanted to tease you. Maybe next semester I'll be teaching something and you guys will come back for that. But you know, I'll say this, so I'll give you the overview of it. I'm not prone to fear at all. I'm not prone to fear at all. But I was on vacation somewhere one time, and for two nights in a row, I woke up in cold sweat fear. Oh, did I tell that story about the demon and the?
No.
I got some that I did and some that I didn't. So you guys might not have been here. That's right, because only part of the class was here. So anyway, I woke up a couple of nights in fear, and it happened to be a demonic attack that we actually have. My wife and I got a picture of it through reflection in a thing. And it's visibly, you can see the demon. But anyway, but what I did was I got into the presence of the Holy Ghost and started praying in tongues, because I knew that was out of character for me. And so this scripture right here is connecting praying in the Holy Ghost to deal with the spirit of fear. And if you're dealing with the spirit of fear in any area of your life, I would recommend to you spend some extra time praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, so let's keep going. Praying in tongues is an act of your will. Again, it does not overcome you like a seizure and suddenly the Holy Spirit takes control. That would be a demon possession. Look what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? You see what it says there? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. I will, I will, I will. So we can see from the scriptures that you decide with your natural mind that you are going to pray in tongues. It is an act of your will. You must use your will, a natural affection, to initiate a spiritual exercise, praying in tongues. You will also have to use your tongue, the fleshly thing inside your mouth, the air in your lungs, and your vocal cords. All of these fleshly aspects of praying in tongues are a part of your natural man that are necessary and must be activated by your will for the Holy Spirit to use you as a vessel of prayer. You have to use your will. When you are ministering the Holy Ghost to somebody for them to receive, this is the way I do it. I tell people over and over again, because it seems like they don't get it the first time, the Holy Spirit is not going to come over you like a seizure. You have to use your tongue. You have to use your lips. You have to take a breath of air into your lungs, and you have to pass that breath over your vocal cords. And you have to initiate the vibration of your vocal cords. These are all fleshly aspects of praying in tongues. The part where faith is involved is where you are believing that the Holy Ghost is shaping the words to His liking. But really, praying in tongues is a very natural thing. The natural man is involved in a huge way. And your will, your natural affection, which is your will, is involved. I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in with my understanding. I will sing in the Spirit. And just as a side note, singing in the Spirit is one of the most liberating, amazing, even if you don't even have a good singing voice, singing in the Spirit is awesome. You just to allow the Holy Ghost to just make a melody out of your heart and the very heart of God into the heavenlies. Oh. But just like you make a decision to sing the words to some Led Zeppelin song that you liked when you were a kid. Come on, you guys look so holy, man. Like you don't even know who Led Zeppelin is. You do too. Don't act like you don't know who Led Zeppelin is. So, no, but you know, you make the decision to sing at church, right? Nobody makes you sing at church. You singing at church is an act of your will. You singing in the Holy Ghost is no different than you singing at church. It's an act of your will. You praying. Nobody, when we all You know, sometimes Pastor Rick will say, hey, let's get together in groups of four or five or six and let's pray for one another as we're leaving out of here. And we pray in English, right? I mean, we pray in English. But me praying in English with my understanding is an act of my will. I cannot pray, or I can pray in that when we're standing around in that circle. It's an act of my will. I typically choose out of an act of my will to pray with my understanding in a situation like that. It's the same thing praying in the Holy Ghost in your quiet time with the Lord. You use your will to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's an act of your will. Okay, the benefits of praying in tongues. Top of the page 20 there. Ooh, I see the end is in sight. Page 20 there, top of the page, benefits of praying in tongues. There are a plethora of benefits to speaking in tongues. One of the rather interesting aspects, and not talked about much by those who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, is what is described in 1 Corinthians 13:1, speaking with the tongues of angels. So 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, I'm not going to go too deeply into that. My wife, actually, she did my notes for me. She took all my handwritten notes. Everything that I'm preaching, pretty much all the classes that I do here, are when I was senior pastor of a church, I taught in series, right? So I would teach a 20-week series. And so, and all handwritten notes. I take my handwritten notes and I give them to my wife, and then she puts them into outline form for me for here at school. So my wife asked me, why do you have that in the outline? And I said, honey, there's really only one reason. I said, because I think it's cool. I mean, really, when you think about it, when you think about praying in tongues, you could be praying in the tongue of a divine being, an angel. How cool is that? How amazing is it? I mean, just to me, it's so supernatural to me, but it's so natural. It just makes it cool. And so that's in there for no other reason than that. I just think it's cool, and it's my outline, and I can put it in there if I want to. Okay. A few more of the many benefits to speaking in tongues is you speak directly to God, and in doing so, you edify yourself. One Corinthians 14, 2 through 4. I don't have it in the notes here, but it is 1 Corinthians. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. If you're feeling spiritually weak, I know, and this is contrary to what we want to do in our flesh. When we're feeling spiritually weak, we just want to like back off of it, right? You just want to back off. You don't feel like praying. You just don't feel like reading your Bible. I don't know about you. I mean, but it happens occasionally. You just don't feel, you know, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. Those are the times when you need to tie in to praying in the Holy Ghost. And those are the times, really, when you need to activate your will and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take 5 minutes. I know I don't feel like it. You know, I like to try to get at least, you know, 3 days in the gym to just for exercise, you know, lifting weights and cardio and that kind of stuff. I'm trying, you know, I'm older now and I don't want to lose my edge. So I try to get in 3 times a week. And I'll just tell you, there's just a lot of times, most times, I'm like, man, I just do not want to do this today. And sometimes I give in to my flesh and I don't do it. But, you know, I make a decision of my will. I'm going to do this. I'm just going. I know. I'll feel better if I do it. And it's the same thing with praying in the Holy Ghost, yo. You know, you may not feel like it, but there's so many benefits to it. And one of those benefits is it will strengthen you spiritually. It will edify you. It will build you up. I can't tell you countless times I've started feeling blah in the Holy Ghost. And within 5 or 10 minutes, I am like, woohoo, thank you, Jesus, I love you. You're amazing. You are awesome. And that's a direct result of what the scriptures say here about edifying yourself. Okay, so the block there in the middle of the page. When you pray in tongues, prompted by the Holy Spirit, you speak directly to God and you speak the perfect will of God in a situation. You know what? I'm just going to skip through there because I want to make sure that I get just a couple of things here in closing. We got 3 minutes left or so. Go to the next page. It's the last page of your outline there, page 21. And I just want to hit C there because there's a test question in here and I don't want to skip over it. Romans chapter 8, 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And number two there, praying in tongues will stir you up and help you focus on the one inside of you, the Holy Spirit. In doing so, he will bring strength to your mortal body. You know, we if you're having symptoms in your body, physically having symptoms of sickness or whatever it may be, I cannot encourage you enough, as much as you can, pray in the Holy Ghost. Because that scripture right there, and you need to memorize that scripture. If you don't remember from this class, if you don't memorize any scripture except Romans 8:11, you need to memorize that scripture. Because I told you how the Lord likes you to repeat his word back to him and call him out on his word. I can't tell you how many times when I've had symptoms in my body, I have thrown my hands up before the Lord and said, Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And because he dwells in me, he is right now quickening my mortal body. I thank you that your spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that spirit is dwelling in me. And because that spirit that dwells in me who raised Christ from the dead, all that power, that spirit, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me right now. My mortal body is being quickened. And I thank you, Lord, that my mortal body is healthy and strong and quickened by your spirit. And then I'll just tie into it. I'll put exactly what the scriptures say to work in my life. That's how you gain victory. That's how you gain, that's how you overcome problems with the Holy Ghost. You've got to access him through praying in tongues. You've got to access him through meditating on who he is in you. You've got to access him through confessing the scriptures about what he says about you. That's how you gain victory. Listen, victory just doesn't happen. Victory happens because people they seize the victory. Everybody you've ever heard the testimony of them getting these great healings and all that kind of stuff, if you listen to the backside of that testimony, you will hear the trials and the tribulations that they fought through. You will hear that they confessed the word over themselves. You will hear that they had played the word in the background over and over and over again, that they listened to they put Andrew's programs on loop and watched the healing journeys and stuff like that over and over again. You will see that there's always this thread that goes through all of the people who have gained victory. Victory does not come without a fight. And what better way to fight and gain victory than the Holy Ghost? Amen.